It's time to let loose. Talk some Michigan and play in the playground. The Sunday Morning Playground on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA. The Ticket. Here are your hosts, Jay-Z and Jeff. At the
playground. Hello, everyone, and welcome to WTK's Playground, the Sunday morning, December 4th. Just past the top of the hour, I want to thank you for tuning in wherever you might be. Jeff Childs in the air chair this morning. No Jay-Z. Jay-Z is on vacation in New York City. No Tony O, as a matter of fact. He's gone. It's pretty empty in here. But on the other side of the glass, I do have the Miz himself, Matt Missler. Welcome. How are you today?
Doing good. Doing well. In fact, Tony O will be here in a matter of moments.
All right.
Yeah, he might be calling right now, so I'm going to take that phone call here in a bit. By the way, if you do want to call in, 734-998-1050. We're going to break down a whole bunch of championships set Friday and Saturday on today's show.
That's right, Miz. And we did have a handful of championship games yesterday. Conference championships on a conference championship Saturday. The Pac-12 championship game Friday night, which of course was the most interest to Michigan fans. I talked about it all week with Michael Spathman inside the huddle that I thought Colorado would give Washington a game. And Miz, I couldn't have been more wrong.
Yeah, it was kind of a weird scenario considering, what was it? Friday was a Pac-12 game. And we had that game go down, and I think a lot of us were expecting that game to be a very close contest, but in obvious results, if you watched it, it was a blowout. In hindsight, and then in retrospect, last night in the ACC championship game, you were expecting a blowout, and Virginia Tech showed up, and Clemson just kind of on the field. That's really the best way to describe what happened. So really, in hindsight, a lot of Michigan fans, I think someone, you know, the Twitter account for the game day or whatever showed a lot of Clemson fans doing the surrender cobra or just begging and praying that something would good happen. And I know that there was a lot of maize and blue as well out there that were thinking the same thing, but lo and behold, unfortunately, both Virginia Tech and Colorado could not get the job done.
Yeah, that's the amazing thing. That's the beauty of college football. You go into a weekend, you expect one result.
Unless you're a Michigan fan, then it's not beautiful.
Yes, you expect one result, and you get the complete opposite in both those games. Of course, Colorado and Washington, the Huskies blow out the number 8 Buffs 41-10 in a game that I think belied the final score a bit because I thought both teams played rather poorly in this game. But Washington did what they needed to do. They got an outstanding effort from running back Miles Gaskin, 159 yards rushing, and just dwarfed Colorado in the yardage category, 383-163. And now we want to welcome in another contributor to the playground, Tony O. Tony O is with us this morning. How are you, Tony?
Good. How are you?
Well, yeah, talking about Colorado and Washington, that was the game of most interest to Michigan fans. And I felt like this game was as big of a blowout as it was, again, that sort of belied the final score. Jake Browning did not have to do much in this game. 9 of 24 for 118 yards, 2 touchdowns. But Miles Gaskin, really the bell cow for the Huskies, 159 yards. And that's really the story of this game, I think, the way that Washington's offense operated in spite of Browning. Because you look on the other side, Tony, and this was an interesting aspect of this game to me, that Sefo Lufau only completed 3 passes, left this game early with an injury. We'll never really know what Colorado could have done with him at the helm. Beyond Lufau, they didn't really get much else in terms of offensive productivity. Philip Lindsay, 53 yards. Lindsay also the leading receiver, 19 yards. But for Michigan fans, this has got a sting, right? Because they knocked Sefo Lufau out of their game way back in week 3 when Michigan had to make a comeback and win. In that game, if the committee would like to take notice, Michigan was also without tackle Grant Newsom, without starting corner Jeremy Clark, and they did knock Lufau later. He did his damage in the first half. And, of course, on the other side of things, this game I believe he left in the second quarter.
Yeah, and then I think he came back to start the second half for a bit, and I don't remember if he finished the game or not, but I don't know. I thought both teams played pretty terribly.
Yeah, like, that was the scoring was fun, but the game itself, as far as like the technical side of college football, is not an entertaining game.
Yeah, I wasn't impressed with Browning at all. I think at this point for Michigan fans, I mean, it seems like I just don't think the committee will take on, you know, the onslaught of just like upset fans from not Michigan fans.
The backlash they would get if they did put Michigan in.
If they didn't put Michigan in. So I think Washington will probably be in and probably be number four. And I think Alabama is going to just destroy Washington. I mean, that's going to be the best team Washington plays by far. We saw what Alabama did to USC early on in the season, like 52-6.
Saw they did spanking. To Florida yesterday.
Spanking.
Right. But what's interesting about the USC is that this is a Washington team that lost USC just a few weeks ago.
Transitive property.
Yeah. If we want to use the transitive property. But no, I really think. I mean,
transitive property. Michigan be Big Ten champion right now. But that's besides the point. Continue.
Yes, Viz. That's true.
But, yeah, I don't know. I thought that was a game where, you know, Colorado just didn't seem to just didn't really show up at all. And Washington had a lot of mistakes of their own.
You know, yeah. You know, I'm sure that's part of it, that any team, you lose your quarterback, you lose your leader. There's an emotional deflating going on. And that really happened to Colorado in the Michigan game. Michigan's defense able to rise up and put the clamps down on Steven Montez and the rest of the Colorado offense. But this is a game where I was really surprised, because last week I talked with Mike on our show and I made the statement, and I said, and we talked to a Colorado beat writer about this on Friday, Colorado's got some really good secondary players in Tedrick Thompson and Chidobe Awuzie, and he made his impact felt in the Michigan game. Colorado's also had a pretty good front four on their defensive line, and I was really surprised that, you're right, Tony, as poorly as Washington played, they still put up 41 points, but that the Colorado defense, one of the best in terms of yardage given up, in terms of defensive efficiency in the nation, I can't recall, I think they're like number 13 in that category, but that they were not able to, even on an off night from Browning, that they were not able to make the plays and maybe get a few turnovers that would swing this game in their favor. Really surprising to me how much Washington was able to march down the field over a pretty solid Colorado defense.
Yeah, I mean, I think you know, you talk about turnovers. I think that was a real key, because I mean, the Sefolufo threw three interceptions, and they were all you know, at times when Colorado was still in it, really. But they kind of helped cement the game away. So
he had as many interceptions as he had completions in that game on Friday.
Great stat. No, Miz is right. I'm looking it right in the face.
It's just, when you look at the game statistically, you're just looking at it going, how the hell did Colorado, you know, did they make it to the Pac-12 championship? I almost said Big 12. How did they make it
in the Big 12?
Yeah, I know. How did they make it to the Pac-12 championship game, you know, and just lay an egg in over in Northern California? How do you do that?
Well, especially when, as we talked about, Jake Browning had an off night. It wasn't even mediocre. It was
remember
an off
when
night.
He was in consideration for the Heisman? Remember?
Yes, yes, Viz. Yes, he was. No, that's a great question. And I think if Colorado had a time machine and they went back in time, they could change how they played in this game. They would definitely do it. So many people going into this game were picking the Buffs. I picked the Buffs. I was a Ralphie fan all week. And you're right. They completely laid an egg in this game. And they did not show up in a game that many, many thought they would be fiercely competitive in. We want to know what you think. Does Michigan still have a sliver of a chance, an outside chance at the playoff? After watching those games yesterday, Washington clobbers Colorado 41-10. And on the other side, Virginia Tech, a very, very tight game. They made a comeback in the second half against Clemson. So Michigan fans do not get the results they want. They don't get a Virginia Tech upset. They certainly don't get a Colorado upset. So where do you stand out with Michigan, if you're listening, wherever you are? Do they have a chance of getting in the playoff? What do you think the committee will use, I guess, as the final metric, the overriding factor to take one over the other? Because we talked about it last week on Inside the Huddle. Conference championships, that's been the term bandied about. That's not the overriding factor for the committee, and the committee changes every year. They make it clear that this year, this particular committee, that doesn't carry as much weight maybe in prior playoffs. So does Michigan have a chance? What do you think will be the talking point of the committee behind closed doors? And if they do get in, which I still find remarkable if that would happen, how does Michigan perform? They will likely play Alabama, but what say you? We want to hear from you today on the playground. You can give us a call, 734-998-1050. You can tweet us, at Jeff Childs, ITH, at The Miz on Air, Miz.
Yep. And you can also tweet the show at WTKA_playground. We'll also, take all your responses there.
So we want to hear from you. We want your opinion. Does Michigan have a fighting chance, a sliver of a chance to get in the playoff? Of course, two conference championship games yesterday did not go the Wolverines' way. So where do you fall? Where do you weigh in on these two games? Of course, we had another game yesterday, the Big Ten championship game. It's got to be a bizarro alternate universe for Michigan fans. And we'll start off by giving Penn State credit because they made a furious comeback in the fourth quarter to overtake Wisconsin and maybe become one of the most unlikeliest of conference championships in the conference champions in the history of conference championships with their win yesterday. So we'll give Penn State credit, but not without a little caveat that, of course, they lost to Michigan. And if it came down to Michigan getting in the head-to-head, Michigan would win that category. But how strange is it to you, wherever you're listening this morning, that Penn State is the conference championship conference champions? I know that's a sore spot for Penn State with their history for a variety of reasons. But they win yesterday, last night, on the field where it matters, beating Wisconsin in a great ending to that game and winning the conference championships. Tony, I want to ask you, with where Penn State was at the beginning of the season and what Michigan did to them, absolutely burying Penn State, I wrote that it was perplexing. How odd is it to you that Penn State is the conference champions? And I guess, what are your thoughts on that game yesterday?
Yeah, it's odd to say the least. I mean, I think this year has really made me not like the divisional setup in the Big Ten even more than I didn't like it before, just because you have one side that has so much more competition than the other, that you had a conference championship game where neither of the best two teams in the conference were playing in it.
And I think that we can say that unequivocally, that Michigan and Ohio State were the two best teams in the East.
Yeah, without, I mean,
in the entire conference.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's an upsetting year because it just doesn't follow real reason. Should say Penn State and Wisconsin should not have been the two teams that were competing for the Big Ten championship. Either way, mathematically, the way it works out, I guess they won it. And in terms of the game yesterday, I'm amazed Wisconsin blew the lead they had. I mean, the whole first half really seemed like Penn State didn't belong. And then the second half came, and the Wisconsin offense really just stalled.
I mean, went into a shell. Penn State almost seemed like they flipped a switch in that game.
Yeah, it did.
But for you in the studio this morning, for me, Miz on the other side of the glass, we all three know it. The rest of the nation knows it. The committee knows it. Michigan and Ohio State are the two best teams in the conference, mm-hmm. but they didn't play for the conference championship. I mean, is there a situation there where, as far as the divisional format, Tony, you brought up, something can be fixed there, tweaked there? I doubt it. I don't think we're getting any kind of deviation from the divisional format that we have. But how, I guess, perplexing, how frustrating is it to you, Miz, that Penn State is the Big Ten champion?
It's a little frustrating considering that we blew them out.
By nearly 40 points.
Yeah, that's the one thing that kind of blows my mind, that the third best team in our division went to Indianapolis, played for the Big Ten championship game, won it, won that game, despite the fact that Wisconsin probably had the second best defense in the entire Big Ten, probably a top five defense in the nation, probably I'd say top 10 defense in the nation, and got blown out. They gave up over 30 points in the contest. They gave up 38 points, wasn't it?
I think I think you're right. That's the most remarkable aspect of that game, that Wisconsin defense that was lauded for so many things, had players on the All-Big Ten team. T.J. Watt had just a great, great year for Wisconsin, another All-Big Ten performer. Jack Sitchie, one of their really good linebackers. Mike sung his praises many times. For all these moving parts in this defense, and that they just sort of folded in the second half, and Penn State, believe it or not, they're your conference championships. So let's
have
go to the
fun playing at the Rose Bowl, boys.
Exactly. Let's go to the phones right now and take a call from David in North Carolina. David, welcome inside the playground.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Yeah, disappointing. I'm sure that the teams we were rooting for did not come through, but I mean, quite frankly, that's what happens when you depend on others to do your work. It really is. And, you know, as far as Michigan deserving to be in the playoffs, as much as I'd like to say absolutely to that, I don't think so. Michigan's problem this year is in the critical situations, they could not finish. And that's the key word for Michigan this year, finish. Learn how to finish, period.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right, David. I mean, we saw it in end of games, Michigan-Iowa. The offensive line is unable to get a push. They're unable to get the running game going and punch one in the end zone. They settle for field goals and give up a safety, and that's the margin of victory. Iowa kicks the game-winning field goal at the end. And, of course, as we all saw, Ohio State taking the Buckeyes to double overtime down in the horseshoe. And, again, Michigan settling for field goals. Michigan unable to put up 7 points rather than three. And then on a third down play, unable to get to, I believe it was Curtis Samuel for like a 10-yard loss in the backfield. And that inevitably set up the fourth and one play that will be debated for eternity. It's about finishing. Whether it's offensively, whether it's getting stops on defense, Michigan did not get it done. And they'll lament that for a very, very long time. They only have themselves to blame.
Let me put this in retrospect. Two losses this year. I know that, you know, last week I was trying to talk people off the ledge saying, hey, 10-2 year, it's a great year. We're going to look forward to hopefully, you know, one of the big six, possibly getting into the CFP. Let me put this in retrospect, just in case you didn't wake up with nausea from drinking last night. Margin of loss, only 2 points. We only lost by a total of 4 points in the two games we had this year. I don't know how the margin of victory we had in the 10 wins that we had. I'd have to go and do math, which I'm not good at, but
I think it's around 29.
Sounds about right. I'll agree with that. That sounds about right. Tonio doing the math for me, but I mean, it does make you kind of sick that, you know, in the two losses that we had, we only lost by a margin of two, but I don't know. That just makes me a little nauseous.
Sorry. Yeah, nothing more striking than that. Very, very stark difference. Michigan loses two games by a combined 4 points. As Tony O said, their average margin of victory and all those other blowout wins around 29 points. So very, very stark difference there for Michigan, and a very bitter pill to swallow for Michigan fans today on Sunday when maybe they would have been celebrating a Big Ten championship. I might not be in Ann Arbor. I'd probably be waking up in a hotel in Indianapolis. So lots of disappointment to go around here on this Sunday morning on the playground. Get involved in our show this morning. Your final thoughts on three big games on Championship Sunday. Champions were crowned, Michigan not one of them, and now they wait. Now they hang in limbo, likely not going to the playoff with Clemson and Washington victories, but we want you to get involved. 734-998-1050. You're listening to the Playground on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, the Ticket.